Okay, Tov, Boker Tov, Yom Shabbosurot Tovot. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, on this potentially happy Asarah B'Tevet, is daf Ayin. And we are holding at the bottom of Nun Tet Amud Beit. So Rabba was looking at various issues that had to do with the nature of Hafora and Hakoma and the language of the Mayfair person, the Av or the Baal, in these various circumstances. So we're going on with some of Rabba's very fundamental questions. And boy, Rabba, now at the bottom of Samach Tamud Beit, I've got another question. Suppose the father or the husband, depending on who the Mayfair is, he says to her, Kiyem lechi hayom, that today I'm being Mekayim. Now, saying those words, today I'm being Mekayim, certainly implies, no, I shouldn't say today I'm being Mekayim, for today I'm being Mekayim, right? Hayom. So for today. So, I mean, that implies that for tomorrow, he is not being Mekayim. But does it also mean for tomorrow I am being Mefer? I mean, those are not exactly the same thing. In order to say that you're Mefer something, maybe you have to say, I am Mefer. Maybe we should say that unless you clearly state, I am being mefer to you, then it's not considered to be a hafora. Now, this is a pretty strange kind of thing, because lamaisa, it's taking an awful lot for granted. I mean, let's think about what the question seems to be phrased at and what it's really making assumptions about. I mean, it seems to be phrased in a way that leads to only one question. Can we say that it's possible to just do hafora through implications, or does he have to say it beferish, right? That's what the Gemara is saying the question is. Now, that takes for granted that it's possible to be Mekayim a neder for the day. He's like, okay, Mekayim the neder for the day? Does that mean that, what, the neder is not Mekayim tomorrow? And it also implies that when you are Mayfair today for tomorrow, that the Hafora is Chal because you did it on the day that you heard. But it doesn't have to be Chal on the day that you heard, right? Now, those are, each one of those things is a big assumption. We certainly have not established that at all. So the simple meaning of the question of Rabba is really quite misleading. Because it seems to be saying, I know for a fact that you could definitely be Mefer today for tomorrow. I know for a fact that you can definitely be Mekayim only for one day, and then Hafora could go into effect. Now, we're going to see that these are not necessarily true, and that Rabba really doesn't know all of the things that he's pretending to know here, and that actually we're going to be getting into a list of various issues that are presented sort of imtim tzulomar, but not quite. So in other words, first Rabba pretends, look, let's just take a simple question, you know, assuming that you could be Mefer from today for tomorrow, and assuming that you could be Mekayim only for a certain set time. Can you also be Mefer without saying beferish, I'm Mefer, and saying by implication, I'm only being Mekayim today? Is that the same thing as being made for tomorrow? Now, we'll soon see that the questions go a lot more deep than that. Because the next question that Rabba has is, okay, let's assume that in this case, since you never said clearly that I am made for you tomorrow. So in this case, for sure, it's not considered to be hafara. You have to state hafara. Well, what if he did state hafara? What then? What did he do? Well, suppose Amarla, let's say he says to her just those words. Today, I am being Mayfair, but the hafara does not go into effect until tomorrow. Okay, what is the din? So, first of all, I have one question, which is, if you say that the hafara does not go into effect until tomorrow, does that automatically imply that today I'm being Mekayim? Because that's another question. I had the issue about whether you can use implications to create hafara? First of all, do you use implications to create the kiyum? Well, what's the difference? I mean, you already raised the question. Ah, there's a big difference. Because remember that if you are not mefer and you are completely passive, what happens? The hakama goes into effect, right? So that's mashma, that by implication of my not being mefer, I definitely do cause a hakama. Now, if that's the case, then furthermore, it might be possible to say that by implication of being mefer only for tomorrow, I am also causing the neder to go into effect today. So that, I mean, that's one question. And if that's true, so then mi'amrinan l'mocha l'motzi mefer d'hakimei l'nidrei hayom, then we have another question. The other question is that it's possible that once a neder is mikuyam, there is no way to be made for the neder, even though you only said it's mikuyam for the day. But that means, like we saw earlier, that as long as there is a time in which something is mikuyam, so then it's no longer possible to be made for it. That's another question that I have. Because, I mean, by the time that you say it should be mufar, it's already too late, isn't it? That's also a question. So do we say, therefore, that l'mocha l'motzi mefer, because kaimei l'nidrei hayom, o Dilma, he didn't say openly to her, did he? He didn't say kiyam l'chi hayom. All he said was, it's mufar tomorrow, which means that when he says that to her, the only reason it would be kosher is because he's saying that today, I am actually, from today, being made for it tomorrow. But, I mean, the hafara really is done now. And therefore, there is no problem of the hakama. Now, my next question is, im timtzaloma afilo hachi, kiven dekimo ayom labocha kamandi ite dami. If you're going to tell me and say, even though all that you said was, I'm being made for tomorrow, it implies that I make him today. And if I am make him today, there's no way for me to cancel it tomorrow. L'mocher kamandi ite dami. Now, wait a minute. That's because once a kiyum is in effect for an entire day, then there's no way to be made for it, right? Because tomorrow is not a day of hafara. You can only be made for on the very day that you heard about it. So maybe that's the underlying logic, assuming that it's true, that he will not be able to be made for tomorrow. Maybe the underlying logic of his inability to be made for tomorrow is because, look, you can't be made for except on the day that you heard it. And on the day that you heard it, you're implying that you're mekayem it. So then in order for you to be made for it tomorrow, you would be trying to do something that you were not empowered to do in the first place, because tomorrow is not a day of hafara. So maybe that's the point. But what about if you didn't make the kiyum for the whole day? What if you made the kiyum for the next 59 minutes? The neder is mikuyam for the next 59 minutes, and then it's mufa. And that's all on the same day. So then you're trying to do something that is within your powers, because it's within biyom shamo. So therefore, I have a different question for you. Maybe it's only because kivan dekimo hayom, and therefore lamocher kamande ite dami. Tomorrow, it's there. There's nothing you can do about it. But suppose he said to her, kiyam l'chi l'sha'a. It's for 1 hour. It's going to be a good netter. What's the din over there? Mi amrinan kamande omer la mufa l'chi l'achar sha'a dami. Is it as if he said, okay, it's mekuyam for 1 hour, and then it's mufa from that point on? And that would be good. I mean, or maybe, well, he didn't say beferish to her, did he, that after the hour, it's going to be canceled. And maybe we originally never really determined what the din is. Maybe unless you say absolutely and forcefully that this is mufer, it isn't mufer. You can't be mefer by implying that after the hour it's mefer. So we would still have that question, right? So he never said it to her. Now, let's assume that the problem is that that's not what you said. Okay, now this is going back to the original question. What if you did say it? What if you said it openly to her? So imtim solomar, hello amar la. You say, okay, but you never said those words. Okay, fine, you never said those words. Let's talk about a case where you did say those words, okay? What would be the din of amar la? What if he said openly to her that this is a neder that is mekuyam for 1 hour, and after that hour, I do hereby make for that neder? So now there's no doubt about what my intent is. There's no limit in my speech. Everything was absolutely clear. So do we say that it's possible to do a hafara even though you once did a hakama? Even though it's just for a minute, it doesn't matter. Because that's what your option was. You can choose hakama or you can choose hafara. The moment that you choose hakama, you can put whatever limits on the hakama you want, but you don't have the power to change the status of the neder once it goes into effect. And the hakama is a one-time affair. There's nothing you can do about it. And therefore, once you're making, even if it's just for the next hour, there's nothing you'll be able to do after that hour. O Dilma, or do we say, look, the empowerment to choose whether you want this neder to go into effect or not was given to you for the remainder of the day. And therefore, you can do that later. So kiven dekula yuma bara kamo bara farahu. Since you have the entire day to define your standing about this neder, so then if he says, mufar lechile achar sha'a, if this neder is not going to be chal in another hour, maybe that is a good enough question. It's not something that can't be changed ever again. So what indeed would be the shaila? Okay, so we've got a number of different questions over here, and all of these different questions are being raised by Rabba. So basically, I'm not really sure whether it helps to make implications for hafara. Furthermore, I'm not even sure whether it helps by implications to make hakama, even though hakama goes into effect by default if I indicate that I'm not interested in making a hafara. I'm not sure about that. Furthermore, I'm not sure that by making a din today that won't go into effect until tomorrow, whether that is considered to be a hafara today. Furthermore, I'm not sure whether hakama is a one-time event, and once it goes into effect, even if it would be on the same day, and even though you provided limits to the hakama, I'm not sure that that's in your hands at all to determine. It could be you could just choose hakama or hafara. So do we have any clear indication? Says the Gemara, we do indeed, because we've got a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Masechet Nazir, but it's the same basic idea. Now it says over there, a woman says, a rainy nizira. Her husband hears. Now he could say, mufala. I don't want you to be a nizira. Instead, he says, me too. So if he says, me too, eino yachola afer, because he basically, in saying me too, he definitely wants this nizirut of hers to be mekuyemet, right? Because he too wants to be a Nazir. If he's going to be made for her Nazirut, so then he's going to be canceling his own Nazirut. And he says he wants to be a Nazir. But my question is, why does that necessarily follow? If he says me too, does that mean that he's happy about her being a Neder, a Nazira? Maybe it just means, okay, your Nazirut will remain in effect for the next hour, which allows me to be matfis in your Naziris, my own Naziris. I really want to be a Nazir. As far as you're concerned, why don't you mind your own business and be a nice wife like you're supposed to be? Who ever heard of such a thing, making yourself a Nazira? Stop trying to be a man. Maybe that's what he means. Me too. I'm the one that wants to be a Nazir. So for the next hour, you could be a Nazira to allow me to be a Nazir by being matfis in your neder. And then I don't want you to be a Nazira. But it says over there, no, he cannot be mefer. So why don't we say in that Mishnah, Nema, that when he said the word, quote, va'ani, unquote, so that va'ani da amar, he's only saying about himself, al nafshe, he's saying navi nazir. But as far as, quote, areini nizira, unquote, which was stated dila, that was her problem, that's not his problem. So maybe he only wants it around long enough for him to be able to be matfis in it, and therefore sha'ah achat kaima. But if he wants to be made for it afterwards, where did he ever say that he's being mekayim this thing forever? He never said that. So la'achar sha'ah, iboy lefer. So then, amayin yachol afer. How do you explain the fact that the Mishnah takes it for granted that he cannot do hafar? I'll tell you why. It must be because kima de kimo kimo. You see, from here, having once made that kiyum, there's no way to get out of that kiyum again. There's your answer, at least to this last part. And therefore, there's no such thing as kiyem lach sha'ah and mufalach achar sha'ah. Now, well, wait a minute, says the Gemara. This does not follow. I'm very sorry. Because, I mean, it may well be that the issue over here is not whether having once been Mekayim, you can be Mefer. The question over here might boil down to the question of how we understand the statement of Va'ani. Because you're saying, well, why don't we parse the statement? Va'ani, I'm happy to be a Neder, but I don't really want you to be a Neder. A Nezir, I mean. I mean, I don't think that's reasonable. When you respond to your wife's words and you say, me too, doesn't that mean that you are excited about her idea, right? And that you also want also to be a Nazir the same way that she is a Nazir. So you're indicating a permanent type of hakoma. It's approval. So he maybe that's the point. Kasava kova ani, that's saying those words. A me too is the ultimate approval of her standing. And kasava kov va'ani, quote, unquote, kimandi omer kiyum l'chili olam dami. That is a strong expression of approval, the best you can get. And therefore, that itself would stand as an ongoing kiyum. So we still leave up in the air, because we've not been able to determine what the halacha is clearly about any of these dinim of Rabbah. And as the Ran says, okay, so therefore we'll be machmir in all of these cases, and we'll assume the worst, but that doesn't mean that we'll be able to be ma'anish based on that and so on. We'll just be machmir in terms of how to be noheg. Now, this brings us to our very special kapitan. Okay. We talked about all of these issues before. The din of a nara hamu'rasa, that avia uba'ala are mefirin nidareha, and we even raised the question of what happens if one of the parties die, and we even raised the issue of the difference between a neder that was heard by the husband or heard by the av. And then he died versus the other way around. This is the Mishnah where those questions are fundamentally raised about the issue of nitrokna reshut labal or not. So the Mishnah tells us that in the event that the erisin went through and that the avia ubala were being mefir nidareha, that if meta av, lo nitrokna reshut labal. So if the father dies, then the husband does not get the rights of the father. But if meta ba'al, then nitrok l'reshut la'av. Under those circumstances, the father is now able to be made for all of the nedarim, all on his own. Now, in that sense, it's clear that a kayach ha'av in a situation where we're talking about our bipolar nedarim, where a woman who is both daddy's daughter and her chosen's wife-to-be, in that case, here we're saying the father's kayach is fundamentally greater than the husband's kayach, because he takes over the whole deal if something happens to that orus. But there's another way of looking at it, which makes the orus more powerful than the father. What is that? So, b'davar acher, yafek koach ha'baal mikoach ha'av. Because the Baal is able to be mefer nedarim of his wife, who is a bogeret, but the father cannot be mefer the nedarim of his daughter, who is a bogeret. And therefore, ha-baal mefer beveger, but ha-av eno mefer beveger. Okay, so now, first of all, how do we know all of this? In other words, what makes us say that the father is the one who ends up being the sole power over her? Why don't we say that if the Torah gave both of them the koyach together to be made for the neder, so then in the same way, if Baal goes missing, father takes over, if he's dead. If father goes missing and he's dead, Baal takes over. I mean, like, where exactly does this come from? So my time, why is it that we're so sure that the Baal is in a secondary position in the question of Nitrok Narishut? Oh, says the Gemara, that's quite clear. Because remember, the very end of the Pasuk, of the very Pasuk, in fact, that we said before, compares the Av and the Baal, ends with the words, Binu Rea Beit Avia, Bein Ish Lishto, Bein Av Levito, Binu Rea Beit Avia. I mean, that seems to be confirming that the primary one that is going to be in charge of her is not the Orus. And she is still going to be fundamentally in her father's home. And it's his home. It may not be him. He may not be around. But nonetheless, she's not going to be going into his house. She's going into her father's house. So that means under all circumstances, she's not going to be dumped onto the Orus. Okay, I understand that. Now, that doesn't tell us the other thing, though, in the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah also said that in the event that the husband dies, the father gets sole rights. How do you know that? I mean, Nureya Beit Avia says we don't give the rights to the Baal. But it doesn't say that we will take the rights of the Baal and give it to the husband, to the father, does it? So, Meita Baal Nitrok Narishut La'av Minolan, where do we know that? Now, note the difference in the language. When we asked, why doesn't it go to the Baal, we didn't say Minolan. We said, my taima. But now, when we want to know a new idea, that the Rishus that was there before is given over to the father, how do we know that? Omar Rabbah, well, we learned before that since it says in the Pasuk, Ve'im hayo tihye le'ish unedorea aleha, that the double language, hayo tihye, implies that this woman has been hayod twice. So that means that she is an arusa. Something happened to the original erusin. Either the arus died or the arus divorced her. Now she is hayod again, hayod tihye. So now she's got herself a new arus. And the Pasuk over here seems to be comparing them. Makish kodme havaya shniya, lekodme havaya rishona. So what is the Pasuk telling you? That whatever the situation was lahalacha, prior to the original erusin, what was the halacha then? The halacha was that the father is the only one that's empowered, right? Therefore, it's telling me, well, if that was the situation before she was ever an arusa, that's the situation again when she becomes an arusa for the second time. And Makishakod, Me'avayashniya, before she got an arus the second time, what was the interim period? It was exactly the same as it had been before the first erusin. Namely, it belonged entirely to the Av. Makod Me'avaya Rishona, Av Me'fer Lechudei, Av Kod Me'avaya Shniya, Av Me'fer Lechudei. Yeah, but wait a minute. I mean, we need to have a source, not merely that the Av can be made for Lechudei. Maybe the Av could be made for Lechudei, but that's only where there never was an Orus involved. What about if the Orus already had heard about the Neder before he died? Now, here is the Makar for the entire discussion we had earlier that shows that there's a difference between the power of the Hafara of one where the other partner was empowered and the power of the Hafara of one when the other one was not empowered. That was the Ron's entire logic. That's based on this Gemara's assumption. We need an extra drasha, don't we, to tell me that even if the Orus had heard about the Neder before dying, and therefore he had removed some of the rights from the father and taken them for himself, that even in that case, we will restore what had been taken from the father. How do you know that? Maybe when it says here that it's Hayoti, yeah, it means, okay, Nedarim that never belonged to anybody else before she ever was an Arusa, are the same as Nedarim that never belonged to anybody else now that she's once again an Arusa. But Nedarim that did belong to somebody else, how do you compare that to before the original Erison? It's not a correct comparison. Therefore, says the Gemara, Ema hani milei b'nedarim shelo niru la'aros. This is only if the Oros didn't hear about it, and therefore he didn't take over the rights from the father. But what about Nidarim Shinira La'oros? Maybe in Achinami. Lo matzi mefer ha'av. No? No. I'll tell you why. Because that idea of Nidarim Shinlo Niru La'oros, that I would have been able to understand from Nurea Beit Avia. Because Nurea Beit Avia doesn't only tell me, don't give a Nara to an Oros. It also tells me that this Nara remains daddy's little girl, assuming that daddy is still alive. And that would mean that in the same way that he was able to be made for Nedarim before the original Erison, why should he not be able to be made for as an Av who has a Nara Bebeto? Should be able to be made for. The only reason that we need that extra pasuk of Im Hayoti Yeh to compare the Kodme Havaya Shnia to the Kodme Havaya Rishona is Bedavka to tell me that even though the rights were transferred to the Oros, if the Oros dies, the rights are restored to the father. So it turns out that we really have three separate stages here that we're talking about. A, let's not even talk about giving any rights to the Baal if the father dies. That's the simple meaning of Benurea Beit Avia, even if there's just a bayit. Then we have, Benurea Beit Avia says, note that the pasuk is saying that even when there is an Oros, there's still meaning to being Benurea Beit Avia. Okay, so that tells me that if the Oros had died, she's going to remain in Nurea Beit Avia. Then we have the third step. And that is imayoti, yeah, that even if the transfer of power took place already in this particular neder, it is transferred right back to the father. Okay, excellent. Now, the Mishnah continues on to say that bezeh yafe koyach av mikoyach habal. So vis-a-vis this particular issue that the father gets back the rights to Afara, he is in a much more powerful position than the husband is. But in another issue, says the Mishnah, the husband is in a more powerful position than the father. That's very strange. I mean, because we're not talking about a husband. We're talking about this husband. In other words, we're talking about a case of Nara Hamaurasa. Obviously, a normal husband is married to a woman who's 40 years old, whatever. I mean, a father will never have rights over a child 40 years old, but that's not what we're doing here. We're comparing a situation of a Nara Hamaurasa in terms of rights of the father versus the rights of the Oros, right? So now we're saying that if that Oros now becomes the husband of a Bogeret, so then he gets more than the father would be able to get back, because the father will never get back and be able to be made for Nedarim on a Bogeret. But I, the husband, I can. But how is that possible? Where in the world? Explain to me what the case is, okay? You're telling me an Oros? Is he still an Oros? So how can an Oros do a Hafaras Nedarim? I mean, if we're talking about a case of Erisin and not of Nisuin, so I don't understand. Where does an Oros take over the rights of a woman who's a Bogeret? Tell me what the case is. Was he Mekadisher when she was a Nara and now she became a Bogeret? And now we're saying that, well, since she became a Bogeret, she goes into Rishus of the Baal. Excuse me? I mean, I understand. Let's look at it logically. The Makar that we have is the fact that we know what happens when we remove the father from the picture. How do we remove the father from the picture? Either he dies, or she becomes a Bogeret. If he dies, what's the din? Well, we learned out from the pasuk, if he dies, lo nitrok and reshut labal, right? Okay, so where did you get the idea that if the father doesn't die, and the child becomes a Bogeret, now he's in a better position, and he does take over? This makes absolutely no sense. Where would we come up with a thing like that? Certainly, the Bagrus of the daughter doesn't make the father any less present than if the father had died. And if the father dies, we don't give the rights to the Oros. So why over here, by removing the father through beggar, do we give the rights to the Oros? It makes no sense. The Mishnah, where would this be? We should say, in the same way that Mita Motziyam Rishut Ha'av, and Bagrut is Motziyam Rishut Ha'av, in the same way that in the event of the father's death, Lo Nitroken Rishut Lebaal, so the same thing exactly is the case in Bagrut. Lo Nitroken Rishut Lebaal. Okay? So that can't be the case. Tell me what the case is. Is the case that he actually had been Ma'areser as a Bogeret. So then there's nothing that has to be given over. So maybe the difference is over here that even in the event that he doesn't have the father with him, he never had the father with him because he did the Erusin when she was already a Bogeret, it is possible for an Orus of a Bogeret to be made for Nedarim without a father. But how could that be? I thought that the Torah only gives the rights to a husband im beit isha nadara. And now you're telling me, no, actually there are rights that are given to a husband without the father. Now, this is like a whole new thing. I mean, I only knew about the five possibilities that are mentioned in the pasuk. Now you're telling me that there's actually a sixth possibility. It's not beit isha nadara. It's not ima yoti ela ish unedorea alea, which is the continuation of the ve ima yoti ela ish, where the father is necessary. There's a new status. If she left the rishus of the father as a bogeret, and she is not in beit isha, nonetheless, the oros can be made for nedarim. That's crazy. Where did that come from? I mean, is that true, Bichlal? You must be telling me a new halacha, which is, and we're going to see that this is true later on, that if the time, we've discussed this many times, we had this in Ksuvas many times, if the time comes for the marriage to take place and the guy doesn't perform, so then the halacha is that he has to start supporting her. She's nizonet mishalo, right? Well, once she's nizonet mishalo, he can also be made for her nedarim, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll see. And the reason for that is, as we discussed earlier, is because the psychological component that is central to the entire din of hafaras nedarim is activated by the fact that she's dependent on him. So if he is supporting her, then that means that she is looking over her shoulder when she makes a neder to see whether he's going to be angry. And therefore, he has the rights, the same rights that a husband has, which is that Isha al-dad ba'ala noderet, because the Torah gave him those rights. In this case, her dependency on his support makes her also look at him as a husband, and therefore psychologically he's able to be made for him. Incredible halacha. So that even though he's not technically the Beit Isha Nadara, and as we pointed out a few days ago, even if they weren't even really married, dear Isa, and it was just a Darabanan that created the wedding, incredibly, he's still able to be made for Nadara. Remember, we had these cases back in Ksuvas where she became originally married to him, Midi Rabbonan, because the father had died and the mother was Mekadosher, and then she grew up, and then before he was re-Mekadosher by sleeping with her after her Bagrut, she still retains the status of a Rabbonan marriage. And over there, he can also be made for, according to some Shittas, right? So again, this is something that maybe that's what this mission is being Merames, that in the event that you ran out of time, and you're not performing, Mr. Chosson, so at that point, you are treated as if it's Beit Isha Nadara, even though it was only an Oros. Okay, I mean, yes, we do discuss that exact situation later on. So maybe that's the point, but then I have a problem. Because if we're talking about that point, which is very different, you must admit, than what the Mishnah appears to be talking about, well, we already said that. There's a Beferish Mishnah later on that we're going to have in another few days. And the Mishnah says, "Hotanina chodazimna haboger etchishat hashem asar chodesh." If it's already been 12 months, and at this point, as Rebbe Eliezer says, since She's Nizonet Mishalom. He can be made for her Nadarim. So why say it here in a way that is so confusing? And it isn't really true the way that you put it. It's not as if there was once an Av and then we got the Av out of the way with the Bogeret. It's like you're trying to compare it to the case of the Misa Sabal versus the Misa Av. That's not true. So, I mean, I understand if the Mishnah hadn't said it later. So then fine. You got across the halacha. But if we have a beferish omission that says it later, it's a little bit crazy, I think, to say it in this way. Why would you say it twice? I don't understand. Now, before we get to the explication of the question, the Gemara stops because it just said something that doesn't make any sense. Excuse me? Shneimas or Chodesh? Wait a second. Whoever heard of a Bogeret getting 12 months? The Dinah getting 12 months? That's not said about a Bogeret. A Bogeret, I thought, gets 30 days. The 12-month jazz, I mean, yeah, there is a case where a Bogeret gets 12 months. And that is that if on the day that she became a Bogeret, on that exact day, so then she gets 12 months because it's an extension. Okay, she didn't prepare from before. But normally what we say is that a Bogeret, she's not getting married yet, you know. Oh, God, I'm 12 and a half and I'm not married yet. This is crazy. What's going to be with me? I better prepare all the things I need for a marriage. All I need is for the right Mr. Prince Charming to come along. And I say, well, I need 12 months. 12 months? By then you'll be an old lady. I'll find some other nice little girl. I better be prepared in advance. So therefore, we only give her 30 days, right? Under normal circumstances. Oh, gosh, if things changed. Anyway, yeah. So first the Gemara stops. It says, wait a minute. Where do you get the idea of 12 months? I don't understand. Amrit HaBogeret Sheshata Shneima Sechodesh? Is that what I heard you just say? I mean, there's no such thing. Is there a Bogeret? You don't need, I mean, it's possible to have one case if it came about on the day of her Vega. But why would we say as a double portion that you need 12 months? Bogeret? I mean, you could say there's a minimum that you would have 30 days. That you could say. So, Bogeret v'shloshim yom. Why talk about 12 months? No, fine. Okay, can we wait till we get to the Mishnah? Darn it, you don't let me finish my question, and you'd start asking on the Mishnah. So, you want to say the Mishnah differently, say the Mishnah differently. Tnei Bogeret v'sheshata shnei masar chodesh. The normal Bogeret with whatever time it is, I don't know, 30 days, 37 and a half days. I mean, whatever the case is. Or in the case where they got married on the birthday, 12 months. Can I please get back to my question? Thank you. So, mikomo kom kasha. So, but do I have a problem or not? If I have a Mishnah that says over what Rabbi Eliezer says, that in that case, the ersatz husband can nonetheless go ahead and be made for a nadar. And why do we mention it over here? Okay, that doesn't bother me so much, says the Gemara. I mean, I could say that maybe the main place where the halacha is said is in this Mishnah. Halacha davka. This is where we want to know this halacha. At what point an orus can be made for nedarim on his own. And even though it says it later on in the Mishnah, that's because we need to know that even though this is a stam Mishnah, but it's a stam v'achakach machloket. Because later on we find out that the Chachomim do not agree with Rabbi Eliezer, and they say absolutely not. A husband can only be made for Nadarim if he is really married to her, not if he's an Oros. We don't give him the rights of a husband. So in order for us to know that if Luge Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanan, so therefore we said the Mishnah later on. Or you could say the opposite. You could say the real Mishnah that tells us all of these dinim of the interrelationship of a supporting Oros, as opposed to a non-supporting Oros, and a similarity to a Baal, and the Machlokas in that, that's all said later on. Agreed. Bogeret is Dafka. But why do we mention it over here? Because, look, you started talking about the way that a Baal, I mean, it is secondary to the Av, and that the Av has more Rishus than the Baal. But we only felt it fair to say, now, wait a minute, I mean, the truth is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, so at least there's one shita that would allow you to say the opposite too. I mean, it's possible for us to envision circumstances in which the Orus is more empowered than the Av. Okay, so we mentioned it, but we're really relying on the Mishnah later, and it's agreed that the Mishnah later is the fundamental place where this is meant to be learned.